So welcome Coach Miller to the call, and congratulations to Ryan Anderson.
To ask Coach a question, please press star 1. And your first question comes from the line of Doug Hollard, the Arizona Republic.
Hey, Sean. Speaking of Ryan, he's been pretty good for you all year, but it seems like the past month he's really taken his game to a higher level. Has anything changed over that stretch?
Not really, Doug. One of the things a long time ago, and you're one of the people that know our program well, as far back as the month of October, I was talking about Ryan as our team's most consistent and best player at that time because of what he was doing every day in practice. You know, we give a gold jersey out to the most outstanding player statistically in each given week, and he won it an unprecedented 6 times in a row. No one had ever done that in the 7 seasons that we have been here as a coaching staff, and I think that really set the tone for what I would consider as the most consistent player that we've had at Arizona, other than Derek Williams in his sophomore year. And I would agree with you. I think he's taken it up a level here recently. One of the things that Ryan has a huge advantage of is his strength and conditioning. You know, he's one of the strongest people that has ever played in our program. A year ago when he sat out, he took full advantage of the year off and added things to his body, took away body fat, and I think he's in the best shape of his life, and a lot of times that will spearhead performances like you're seeing, especially late in a season when, you know, a lot of people are wearing down. I sense that he isn't.
And just one more thing, kind of a broad question, Sean. You're one of several coaches in this conference who grew up watching their father coach in high school gyms. How did that experience shape you into the coach that you are today?
Well, you know, it was the reason that I played in the Big East Conference at the University of Pittsburgh, and it's the reason that I became a coach first and foremost. Is, you know, we all are a product of the home we grew up in, and, you know, the passion and love for the game in the Miller house, I would put second to none. And I think we as a family learned to love the game of basketball and looked at it from his perspective, which he has always talked a lot about, that it's a fundamental game, it's a player's game, it's a game that is tremendous. And I think you just kind of, you gain that passion to do what you love what you do. And he embodied all of those qualities, my dad. And, you know, he obviously was a great coach in his own right. In the state of Pennsylvania, I believe he won 5 state championships. So we all learned an awful lot from him, my brother and I in particular.
Thank you, Sean.
And your next question comes from the line of Steve Rivera, GoAZCats.com.
Good morning, Sean. When Twardowski was out for a month or so, you saw the forward step up, or at least, you know, got some benefit from that. As Trier was gone for the last few weeks, what have you seen from the other guys step up, or did you see anything?
Well, no question. I mean, it's hard to point towards silver lining when, you know, Alonzo, who at the time of his injury was our leading scorer in conference play, and, you know, he missed, in essence, 7 conference games. And really, although he played against Washington, he only played 16 minutes. We're excited to welcome him back first and foremost. But, you know, I think a couple things. One, Mark Tollefson in particular became more of a perimeter player for us. I think he got better at it as his experience grew without Alonzo. If you look at his assist-to-turnover ratio, his shooting, he's doing an outstanding job for our team. And in his own right, I think he's much more comfortable in his own skin as an Arizona player. And although he's a senior, you can't discount that, you know, this is his first year ever at Arizona. Even Ryan Anderson, who we talked already about, he was with us all of last year, which eases the burden when you start to play in your second year. Mark got here in the summer. So, you know, I think he's hitting his stride at this point. I think he, more than anybody, benefited from additional minutes and counting on him heavier while Alonzo was out. Now that we welcome Alonzo back, you know, hopefully we'll have a stronger team down the stretch.
Great, thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Percy Allen, the Seattle Times.
Hey there, Sean. How are you doing?
Good, Percy.
Hey, just in this 7 years that you've been in this conference, have you quite seen this Pac-12 race as tight as it is this season?
I haven't, and this is by far the deepest and most talented conference that I have coached in, and obviously this is my seventh year. And we've had, you know, quite a few seasons during this 7 years that I've been in Arizona that I think in some ways were very understated when you consider a number of our teams, how we've performed in the NCAA tournament once we've gotten in and multiple teams advancing, et cetera. But, you know, I think that we'll all look back a few years down the road and look at why this conference this season is what it is. And to me, it's an amazing amount of talent. Newcomers, you have a team that I think has the qualities that I'm about ready to address, and that is an influx of first-year players, whether it be Ryan Anderson, who's a transfer, or you know someone like Marquise Chris, who's a true freshman, who I think in their own right will leave college and whenever that time is and be NBA players. And then you have also veteran players like Gary Payton and Andrew Andrews, Caleb Tarzewski, Gabe York, who've been around for 3 or 4 years, who know how to win and also are very productive players in their own right. But part of, I think, the balance in our conference this year stems from the unreal talent each game that you face, and talent that has experience plus these newcomers. USC is another example. I mean, you look at Julian Jacobs' improvement since he showed up at SC. And, you know, he's a dynamic guard, one of the country's best. And yet, you know, you look at that team and you see Chemezie Metu and Benny Boatwright with him, two players that were in high school last year. So talent-wise, we've never taken a back seat to these other conferences nationally. But this year, it would be hard for me to see another conference that's more talented in terms of the players than we have in the Pac-12 right now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and Dave, just one a separate note. Just in light of everything that's going on and sort of at Louisville, and it was mentioned by Coach Pitino that he would be in favor of maybe changing how the rules are implemented or like the punishment is implemented. First, is the system broken, and would you be in favor of, rather than postseason bans, would like you be in favor of the NCAA or schools putting like maybe fines, like exorbitant fines on themselves?
You know, I'm not as well versed to answer your question. What I would say, Percy, is, you know, if you think about life in general, you know, the more successful things are, the less turnover you have. You know, you take a company, you know, if the company is thriving and you know, each year adding to what they do productivity-wise, earning money, et cetera, you know, if anything, they're going to experience growth, but you're going to have less turnover and more stability. In college basketball, the more successful you are, right, the more productive you are, the more turnover you have. It just doesn't work. That's what doesn't work. And because in many instances you're replacing half of your roster, not in a given year, but every year, it's too fast moving right now, and all of us in our best attempt are dealing with too many decisions with not enough information. And until the change of – you know, you have to be able to enter college and stay longer, or the transfers start to move down. But I think any way we can slow down, you know, I'll use Duke as an example, our national champion a year ago, you know, just bring Tyus Jones back or Justice Winslow back this year. How different would it be right now for them than it is? And they're still a very good team, but you think about what they had to replace. Why? Because they were ultra successful. I mean, decades ago, the Hall of Fame coaches, the elite programs, they fed off of their success, and they returned All-Americans. They returned their best players, and the turnover wasn't nearly as great as it is today. And, you know, I think that's what has to change, and with that, a lot of other things will fall into place.
All right, Sean. Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Bruce Pasco, Arizona Daily Star. Bruce, your line is open.
Hello? Hello?
Bruce.
Your line is open.
He asks a lot of questions anyway. You can move on.
Your next question comes from the line of Tim Sullivan, ESPN.
Hey, Sean, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to get your preview of your UCLA matchup Friday night to take you back to that last game at Poly, beaten by a three-pointer by Alford, and to paraphrase your post-game quote, something to the effect of this has been the worst defensive team you've coached since you've been at Arizona, and that last shot reflects that. Just take us through what your preparation is, what your mindset is, how you've improved since then, or what are your areas of concern looking towards UCLA?
Well, no question, Tim. We've watched that game, and you know that was a long time ago, first week of conference play, and I think all teams have grown a lot since then, and we're certainly one of them. We're a better defensive team right now than we were then, although I don't think we're night and day different. We have steadily improved. And we're going to call on that improvement on Friday night to be a more organized, cohesive unit, a tougher team to score against. We had a lot of breakdowns in that game that were self-inflicted defensively. And no matter who UCLA plays, you're going to look at a team defensively breaking down against them because, you know, they're organized, they play well together. You know, they have three guards that each of them in their own right are excellent players. And, you know, they all can get each other shots. They make the extra pass. They share the ball extremely well. And offensively, even maybe in UCLA's games where they don't win the game, it's usually not because of their offense. They can really, really score, and they're very efficient. So, you know, we could be a better defensive team and still not be able to stop them. They have a lot to do with the breakdowns that occur. But no doubt, back then, that was our calling card of improving and making steady progress defensively. And I believe we have. We'll find out a lot, not only on Friday, but also on Sunday when we play USC.
Thank you.
Coach Miller, thanks for your time. Appreciate you going a little bit above and beyond. So thank you.
Thanks. We'll see you guys.
Take care.